Hi, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Do Your Thing podcast, where we talk to women who are doing things just a little bit outside of what might be expected and making big changes on the world as they do it. I'm Amma, one of the creators of the Summer Virtual Connection Circle.
And I'm Allie, a member of the circle.
And today we have with us Lori Davis, who's the founder of eFlirt and the author of Love at First Click. And she's going to be talking to us a little bit about something that we don't talk about too much in the group, but I know is something that a lot of us think about, love and relationships. So we'll get started. Say hi to everyone, Lori.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well. So what we're going to do, rather than doing the traditional intro and you kind of telling us your full life story, can you think of any stories from growing up or before you came into this position that looking back could have been a hint at what you'd end up doing?
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that my mom was a huge influence on me. She was a teen mom in the very early 80s, back when teen moms really weren't a thing. Like, there wasn't MTV's 16 and Pregnant and all these shows about it. And it, you know, it just really wasn't something people did. And she was 17 when she got pregnant, and my biological father proposed to her, which, especially back then, would be the most exciting thing to most women. Like, it would mean you didn't have to go it alone, and you would be more socially acceptable. You didn't have to be a teen, you know, doing it all on your own as a teen mom. And my mom said no, because she didn't love him. And so from a very early age, my mom taught me to prioritize love. And then around the time I was born, she met Rob, who is now her husband. And I got to watch them fall in love every day, like at the breakfast table, outside on the patio. I was on their dates with them, like eating macaroni and cheese while they had steak, you know. So I got to witness this really true, raw version of love ever since I was a kid, rather than relying, like most women do, because there aren't, you know, that many examples of falling in love. Rely on things like Disney princess movies and stories like that. But the story for me was right in front of me every day.
That's amazing.
That's a great, amazing story.
Yeah. And so it just really made me, it made me my whole life just so inquisitive about relationships and how they evolve and confident about relationships, I think, in a way that most people aren't.
So with that, can you tell us a little bit about how you decided start eFlirt, and do you remember a specific moment where you realized it was something that you wanted to take on?
Yeah. I started eFlirt in 2009, and at the time, I was a marketing consultant, and I was independent, and during the recession, I had a very hard time because I had made this niche for myself working in large-scale events. And to be honest, all those events were just canceled during their session. I mean, companies didn't have money for these 5,000 attendee conferences. So my job was really made obsolete. Like, it wasn't even like I just needed different clients. The work just did not exist any longer and wouldn't for years. So I was trying to figure out what else I could do with my life. Prior to that, like, I don't have a degree. I don't have a bachelor's. I did a little bit of college and then sort of fell into marketing and have all this experience because I was working in marketing while my friends were doing keg stands. But I didn't have a degree to fall back on or, you know, something that kind of gave me credibility other than experience. And I just had a really hard time trying to find something. So I knew I needed to think about what I was doing differently and think about getting a job in a different way. And so I was brainstorming what else I could do beyond marketing, and one of my friends called, and he said, I'm moving in with my girlfriend. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so great. Wait a minute. Didn't I help you meet her on Match.com? And I just realized that I had written his profile for him. I had given him all this advice on through their relationship as things evolved. And I had done the same for so many of my friends, too, because I was an early adopter to online dating. So I was naturally the person that they came to get advice, because I was the one who had figured out how to navigate it before they even knew it existed. And so I realized, you know, that I had kind of a unique skill helping people date online, and that if you think about it, it's kind of like marketing your single self. So all of my experience applied. And wow, I could help people find love online. Like, how powerful is that? So I just became so passionate about it. And so the moment that you're asking about, I was on my couch in my little studio apartment, which I wasn't even sure I could afford anymore, in my pajamas, talking to my friend on the phone. And as soon as we got off, at first I quizzed him about, like, everything I had done to help him that he found valuable, like picking his photos and rewriting his profile and, you know, things like that. And then as soon as we got off, I just started brainstorming. I stayed up all night and came up with eFlirt. And then literally 2 days later, started my company of $50 and a Twitter account.
And it's turned into a whole lot more since then. Like, there's the book and there's the site, and you have other consultants working for you. So it's, that is, as someone who's in a group, and the group that's going to be listening to this is a lot of educators, that is one of the best examples of transferable skills I have ever heard. So that's the kind of thing that we want to be able to tell people that we're working with. Yeah, just take what you can do and turn it into something that sets you on fire, that makes you feel alive, and you've done that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's the best feeling, because I wake up every day feeling so much more impassioned about my life than I did when I was working on conferences.
And that's the goal, to find that thing.
Yeah.
So as we've gone through the group, and it comes up again pretty periodically, kind of in small pockets, we're talking about a group of women that kind of want to make the most of their big dreams for themselves. And I think there's a lot more people talking about how to do that in terms of your career. So that's kind of a lot of where our conversations have come from. But we know that some of the women have felt like being ambitious, being successful, having done really big things, feels like a hurdle in relationships. And it makes it a little bit harder to find what you're looking for. So in your experience talking to women, I'm sure so many of which are talking about the same thing, what are you seeing as ambitious women are looking to find love?
You know, so many of my clients are ambitious women, so I get it. I totally understand their struggles. And some of the things I hear from them, like, first, I think that ambitious women often prioritize finding an ambitious man. And sometimes we feel like he needs to be as ambitious or more ambitious than us. You know, it's like that gender role that even though we don't buy into, still is kind of there lingering. but the flip side also I find is a trend with my clients who are ambitious is that sometimes they just don't prioritize love in their life until later because their career comes first. And that's totally fine. But what I see is I see a lot of women come to me like in their late 30s, early 40s, and they feel like, oh, shit, you know. And so then there's this urgency because they haven't really paid attention to it. They always thought it would just happen, and then it didn't just happen. The truth is love doesn't really just happen. You have to put a little effort into meeting someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are there any things that are common missteps or quirks to look out for as ambitious women seeking love?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you do need to prioritize love, even if it's little tiny baby steps. Like, it doesn't, I think that sometimes people think that focusing on their love life needs to take millions of hours, and online dating is so time intensive. And you know what? It is. I'm not going to lie to you and say it isn't. It's just a matter of where you're spending your time, though. If you're online dating, you're spending it on a screen, right? And it's, in a way, efficient, because once you meet someone, you can transition it offline at your own pace in your own time. If you choose to meet people in person, you just need to be going out a lot more. And so in that case, you're spending your time at events and parties. So it's just a matter of where you prefer to find your time, what's going to light you up. And maybe it's a little bit of both. But if you are looking to online date, it doesn't need to be this big thing that you sit down and do for hours. In fact, the statistics show that that's not the right way to go about it. The statistics find that the longer you search online for love, the more judgmental you become of all the people you're looking through. And you want to keep it as something that feels fun, right? It's dating. So the best thing to do is actually just make it part of your web habit. Like, maybe in the morning you read the New York Times and, you know, you check your email, and then you go on OkCupid for 10 minutes or whatever dating site you're on. It's ideal, I think, to spend about 20 minutes doing it, not 10, but hey, baby steps. Whatever you can fit into your life is whatever is going to work for you, just so you're doing something to move it forward every day, even if it's just a little thing, even if it's sending one email.
I remember from reading your book the part about not spending too long on it, and hearing somebody say that, or reading it rather, then like all of a sudden I'll be doing it, going through, and I just get frustrated. I'm like, nope, I should stop. So that one is one.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I also find that ambitious women often, because it takes time away from your career, sometimes you feel like it needs to be a really amazing guy, right? Like, for you to focus on him, it needs to be someone worth it. And listen, I am not saying you don't deserve the guy in your head. I'm just saying that sometimes the guy in your head, the way he manifests in real life, might not be exactly what you think. Like, my husband, in fact, is not the type of guy I used to date. Like, I used to date all these hedge funds, like, kind of douchey guys. And, like, very, like, kind of boring. I don't know. That was my type. And my husband is, like, he's entrepreneurial. He's an entrepreneur also. He thinks really differently. He's super creative. You know, he's not at all douchey. He's like life of the party, but in a like really charming way. So he's kind of the opposite of my type. And so what I had to do in order to find him was I threw my list away. That list of like all the things that we think a guy should check off, you got to throw it away, because otherwise you're never going to see beyond who you're just like doing the same thing again and again and again isn't going to get you any different results. So that's a real big common misstep I find for women. And I know that a lot of people get nervous when I talk about throwing their list away. But the thing is, like, for example, if you're attracted to confidence, you don't need a list to tell you that you're looking for someone confident. You're not going to be attracted to someone who's not confident. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you don't need a checkbox to tell you that. And the fact that you have a checkbox just makes it seem a little bit more like it's a task for work than it is, you know, something that's attractive to you in your love life.
So there are parts of translating the career piece in that work, but then there are other parts that kind of need to be put to the side for something like this, because they are different realms of your life in some cases would need to be approached differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you talked a little bit about some of it from like the guy perspective, and even talked to a little bit about your husband. We'll get to him more in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But would you have any advice from men, like men that you've worked with, who want to be with ambitious women? Because I can't imagine that it's just us pursuing them and not the other way around. So what are they?
Oh, yeah. No, men totally want ambitious women. But here's the thing. The biggest complaint that I hear from men who are seeking women like that is that they show up and try to be the man. And so what I find, what I tell my clients is the most important thing is that before you, like, listen, he's going to be attracted to you because of your ambition. Like, when you're ambitious, you're never going to be with a guy who's not attracted to that, right? It's just impossible because it's such a big part of who we are. But guys who are attracted to ambitious women still want you to be a woman. And so you have to mentally imagine that you have a briefcase, even though maybe your briefcase isn't as traditional as it used to be back in the day. And put it in the closet before you walk out for a date. Put the briefcase in the closet. This is not a meeting. This is not like, a networking opportunity. This is your dating life. So you need to still be a little soft and feminine and show that side of you. Because I know it's there. It's just maybe not the thing that you always are used to leading with. You're still leading with your briefcase. You're used to leading with the power. And it's not that men don't want the power. It's just that, frankly, sometimes it can be overpowering, especially on a first date, a second date, a third date. And if you mentally check your briefcase, it doesn't mean that the power is going to go away. It just means that it's going to kind of diminish a little bit and be a little more date night friendly.
I like that.
So you, what was that?
No, I was just saying I like that.
Oh, yeah. So you mentioned your husband a little bit, and if anyone hasn't checked out the eFlirt site, you have the cutest photo of you and your husband on that site. And everyone can go, if only to see that photo. But you've talked about him a little. Would you mind telling us a bit about your story and maybe something you've learned from your experience that you share with clients?
Yeah, sure. So I met my husband on Twitter.
yes.
Yeah. And so this was back, it was actually maybe only a few months after I started my company. So it was 2009, and Twitter was a little different then, right? Back then, there were only about 100,000 people on it. And so I searched hashtag dating, which back then there were a lot, people who were using that hashtag were not spammers. They were actually people talking about dating. And I was just looking through people using the hashtag, and I came across Thomas. And I thought he was really handsome. So I clicked on him. And I started reading through his Twitter stream, and I was just like, oh, man, like, I need to know this guy. I really didn't know why. He's also a dating coach, so I wasn't sure if it was business or if it was more, but I just felt, like, pulled to him. And I noticed that he's from Boston, and I was living in New York at the time, but I'm from Boston, too. So that was, like, an added bonus. My girlfriends always told me, they're like, you're totally going to end up with some guy from Boston. You are not going to marry a New York guy. I don't know why. They just always, like, they nailed it. Anyways, so I retweeted something he said, and he like chatted back to me, and I was like, oh, great. I got his attention. And then I wrote back to him, and then he never replied to me again. So I was like, no, I know this guy. Like, I can't let it die. So the next time I was going back to Boston, which was actually a couple weeks later, I DM'd him, which is like a private message if you're not on Twitter, and asked him out. I just asked if he wanted to get a drink. And everything's kind of been history from there, he it turns out that we actually grew up 2 towns away from each other in Massachusetts, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And then about a year and a half in, he moved here to New York. And then last year, around this time, we got married. We're about to celebrate our 1 year. But I think there are a lot of things in our relationship that I teach my clients. but one of the things, actually, is that our personality types are different. So I am very, you might not believe this if you see all my, like, I'm going on Good Morning America and all my media that I've done, but I'm actually kind of an introvert. I really prefer, like, one-on-one conversations and small groups. I have to pay a lot of attention to, like, how I spent my energy because, you know, socializing really exhausts me sometimes, to be honest. Thomas is an extreme extrovert. Like, his company is called the Professional Wingman. So literally his job is going out with people every night and helping them meet others. So he's like life of the party guy. He could meet new people. Like he could be out 24/7, 365, and that would just totally light him up. Like that would be the best scenario ever. And so the one of the biggest challenges I think we encountered in our relationship was this difference in our personalities because, you know, in the beginning it was like, oh, well, maybe this is nice that we're different. And then it became hard that we were different. Like I felt like I always needed to keep up and go out with him, and he would get upset if I didn't want to go out with him. But like, and then I just wanted him to like want to stay in with me sometimes. So we really had to like work to figure out how we could make that opposite attract instead of become a fatal attraction. And I think that a lot of people, especially my clients that are ambitious women, to be honest, they're a little scared by differences like that. Because while they can see that on paper, like that seems like it would be an asset, sometimes it seems like a little too much work to put in.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it's the best thing. I think it's the coolest thing about us because once we made it work and we really sat down and talked about, like, well, this is why I want you to come out and this is why I want you to stay in and this is why that doesn't make me feel good to do either of the others. What we ended up doing is just really understanding each other's point of views. And now that's something that translates into any other time there's a difference of opinion or anything that happens in our relationship, we know that we can sit down and really talk about it in a productive way.
I love that. I love that. And definitely being someone who's noted for being an introvert, I am right there with you. And I've also seen Thomas, he is very much the opposite. So it's nice to know that those kinds of things can be like respectfully addressed, and then it translates into so many other things.
Yeah.
All right. So now we are going to go into a couple of our quick closing questions. So the first one, who is your favorite woman in pop culture right now and why?
Well, I guess she's not so much in pop culture anymore, but I still love Oprah. I think Oprah is like the woman to aspire to in my mind, because she just does so many things well, and she's made a name for herself doing so many things. And so that's just really what I love about her, because, you know, in my e-flirt with my company, it's, you know, it's a company, it's a service, but then I also am an author, and we're shopping a TV show right now. And, you know, there's a lot of things I aspire to that are similar to her path. Hopefully one day I could, I mean, I'm not Oprah. I don't know if I'll ever be Oprah, but she's an amazing woman to aspire to.
What advice would you have for your 18-year-old self?
Oh my gosh, my 18-year-old self was so boy crazy. And so, truly, I guess I would tell my 18-year-old self that it's okay because the boy craziness pays off eventually, right? It's hard for me to hear.
It was professional development, basically. So,
yes,
fantastic.
It was, but I would also tell my 18-year-old self to chill out and that, like, boys aren't always the end-all, be-all.
I think both are true, definitely. I think that's good advice. All right, and then our last one is, what one thing would you tell any woman in the group, no matter what she was aspiring to, what one tip would you give her if she's trying to do her own thing?
You have to follow your passion, because when you're doing your own thing and you're thinking outside the box and you're creating something that's different, first of all, you might get some haters like I did when I first started my business. There were a lot of people who really did not believe that there was a market for this or that I was an expert in this. So the haters come out of the woodwork when you carve your own path, and you need to be passionate about it in order to pursue it, because you're going to put so many hours into it and so much heart is going to be required. And if you don't love it, there's just no way you're going to continue with it and you're going to be successful with it. And you don't need, like, I think that a lot of people think that they need a lot of qualifications to do something. And I mean, certainly, like, I had success stories before I even started my company, right? So I had qualifications, and I had the marketing, which played a little into, played a little into credibility also. But I didn't have a bachelor's degree even. Didn't have, like, I think a lot of people think to start a business, you need an MBA and you need seed funding. And, you know, you don't need any of that. I started my company with $50 and a Twitter account. So really the biggest thing you need is passion for whatever it is.
I love it. That's the best way to get anything really big off the ground, anything really big that you want to see get even bigger. You have to want to do it. All right.
Yeah,
well, that
exactly.
is all she wrote for this one. But thank you so much to Lori Davis from eFlirt. If you want to check out her site and what she offers, buy the book. It is eFlirtExpert.com. And thank you so much for talking to us. I've learned so much. Definitely have a lot to think about that I can hopefully put into practice.
Good. Yeah. Let me know how it goes.
Will do. All right. So we look forward to having you all on for future episodes. And other than that, we will sign off for now. So thank you so much and have a wonderful rest
cool.
of your day, evening, whenever you happen to be listening.